Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, all you have to do is press star one on your touch-tone phone. You'll be announced prior to your question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Rick Weinberg. You may begin.
Thanks, Jim. Hi, everyone. Today I'm looking forward to talking with you all about the introduction of Tivoli Identity Manager version 5.1 and how it also ties into our overall identity and access management governance strategy. For those of you who I haven't met, my name again is Rick Weinberg, and I work in product management for Tivoli Security. And as we go on to slide two, actually, before I jump in, just a few housekeeping items. As the operator mentioned, there'll be a separate question and answer session towards the tail end of the call. And in addition to that, if you do not have the deck, you can, in the invite, there's a link to where it says replay for this call can be found here. That's actually the same link where you can go and get the deck itself. So the deck is titled IBM Tivoli IAM Governance and TIM 5.1 Sales Enablement Version 2. So as we go into the agenda slide, just quickly going to review just some identity management items with you. I know there is a wide range of experience levels for those in the identity management space, and want to provide just a quick snapshot from an education standpoint. You know, so for those of you, this may be some review, and I just appreciate your patience as we get through it. Then we'll go on to talk about how, in particular, IAM governance is a very important area that we are aggressively investing in Tivoli Security. And showcase why that is and ultimately how TIM 5.1 plays a role with that, in particular as we introduce some of the new capabilities. Just important thing to point out here, we're really excited about this release of TIM. In particular, we've been working with some of our customers for well over a year as part of their early access program, getting their feedback early on during the development process and ensuring that the features that we do release are going to have some instrumental value for their TIM deployments. And in addition to that, we've had a beta program running for the last several months. We'll continue through the end of this month before it ends up, finishes up. And in addition, we TIM 5.1 GA'd a couple weeks ago, for those of you that were not aware, and we've gotten some very good reviews from the analysts for the briefings we've had. And so very promising to hear that, and look forward to seeing that come to fruition as well on the customers as you go forward and begin selling. So after we review the 5.1 capabilities, we'll then showcase just some key information sources you can leverage as you go forward in seeking out sales opportunities. And then we'll give you a brief view of some of the coming attractions that you can see, particularly as it looks at the second half of this year, in and around some of the role management areas that we're investing in. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. As you go into slide three, just quickly, as I mentioned, we want to just touch on identity management 101, really understanding who has access to what. So when we look at slide four, when we talk to the who in identity management, it's really about identities, the users themselves who are defined in the identity management system, or TIM, and really are the people who need access to the resources. And these can be anyone from employees, customers, business partners, and citizens. All can be either internal or external to the organization. And when we define an identity within the system, there's often a number of attributes that are associated with that identity, whether it be their address, their manager, maybe their department or organizational unit. All of these become associated to the identity and ultimately become elements to how that identity is managed in the as the authoritative source within their organization. As you go on to slide five, the what in identity management is really a user account on an IT resource, and the account is needed to be able to enable the person, the identity, to perform a function. And then there's other areas of objects like an account that help govern the access. I'll talk in a minute in the next slide about roles, but there's also this notion of a group. And so, you know, a user, a group is really a sub-element of an account in that a user account consists of a user ID, a password, and a group or role assignment. And so as the example here at the bottom of the slide, you can see the user Jane Doe, say, she has an Active Directory account and is a member of the domain users group as well as the invoice management group, which ultimately gives her access to the invoicing application itself. So the object group is often associated with some sort of membership on a native application itself that is an element of a coarse-grained entitlement. And it's important to point out that this is really a coarse-grained entitlement. This is not the same, when you hear the term entitlement, it's not the same fine-grained entitlement that you may hear in the discussions around Tilly Security Policy Manager, for example, on their access management side, where you're looking at, you know, a data level access control and entitlements themselves that are much more fine-grained within the application, and the group is much more of a coarse-grained entitlement. As we go on to slide 6, now that you have the what and the who, it's really, well, how is that access granted? And this, it's granted via policy. You know, policy ultimately defines, you know, who can have access to a particular resource and is made up of memberships and entitlements or groups themselves. And ultimately, workflows and approvals will help define, you know, a business process to ensure the right people are given the right access to the resources they needed to perform their job. And often, as I mentioned earlier, the policy membership can often be defined through roles. And we see more and more customers moving to roles as a means with which to abstract the way that user access is governed to reduce the number of objects that an organization uses to administer that access. And typically we see there's two types of roles in an organization. The first kind is a business role, which is often a collection of users that's associated with the job function, say a financial analyst, right? Then there's also an application role or IT role, which is typically a collection of permissions that is tied to a particular application or system itself. And again, these typically map to, you know, groups or roles on the target resource and are considered coarse-grained. These notion of application roles are not that fine-grained entitlements that I mentioned earlier. So just some key aspects here to consider as we go forward and point out some of the evolution of the identity and access management space, and you'll see how some of these pieces will come into play with some of the functionality that we've released in TIM 5.1. So going on to slide 7, you know, when we talk to our customers and got feedback, you know, continually keeping a pulse on what's driving the market, you know, there's some areas that really have remained consistent, continually seeing governance, risk and compliance, cost reduction, particularly in these economic times, you know, often through, you know, automation of manual processes, as well as security as the core drivers of again, what's really the trigger point behind why our customers are purchasing these solutions. So, you know, while these have remained consistent, as you go on to slide 8, some of our customers have experienced pains with current solutions, and this isn't just IBM solutions, but frankly, you know, solutions of our competitors as well. And you know, when we look at that first bullet there, you know, particularly around user provisioning, you know, certainly there's a tremendous amount of value that user provisioning provides customers. You know, but certainly as the number of users increase in an organization, and as the number of targets that are managed by a user provisioning solution increase, the level of complexity becomes more prevalent. And so really customers look to leverage roles and entitlement management as a means with which to have an abstraction to manage that administration and access itself. And in the next slide, we'll, you know, go into an example of that to show you how that's done. Now, looking at the web access management side of things, certainly a tremendous amount of our customers today use web access management solutions for single sign-on. And, you know, again, there's a tremendous amount of value that's delivered there, but where we see them not leveraging some of the capabilities as much is in the area of around authorization. In particular, these web access management solutions often fail to give much value for authorization because they don't provide some business context. And this is really where we see this entitlement management piece, where we talk about those fine-grained entitlements that can deliver a lot more business context and value to our customers. And when we talk about business context, what we really mean by that is being able to associate, say, a location, time of day, you know, or some sort of data classification and tie that into the access control policy itself. An example of that is at the bottom of the slide here, where you can see you could define an access control policy where a nurse, you know, has read-only access to confidential patient data, which is that data classification, to a particular application, you know, only within the corporate network. So where is the location that that nurse is accessing the application? Again, as you provide more business context, there's much more value that's associated with that access control policy. And, of course, as you look at some of the other bullets here, more feedback we've had from our customers is their inability to manage business conflicts that arise, you know, from granting user access. And, you know, security continues to become more exposed to the business and not just in the weeds in an IT setting. There's much more of an interest and a demand for how you can leverage something like separation of duties to manage a business conflict as it applies to the granting of and managing of user access. In addition to that, another governance capability in particular is our customers are, you know, looking for access certification to help them with the flexibility and validation of user access over time. And not only ensuring whether or not that user should still have access to a particular application, but having the integrated remediation of that access so that if it's deemed that that user no longer needs access, they can automatically remove it or suspend it or mark, you know, that particular account, for example, you know, and ensure that, you know, action can be taken following up from there. Another area that we've had feedback from our customers that you know, they've experienced some pains is the lack of integration around security information and event management in an identity and access management setting. You know, this is something, for those of you familiar with the identity and access assurance solution that we had released earlier this year in April, is really the prime reason for why we're doing so. And as we talk to our customers, they really want this SIEM functionality embedded into our identity and access management portfolio. So not only just managing logs, but being able to ultimately have integrated suspension of access if, for example, you know, there's some abnormal activity that's been detected. And so it's really, you know, as we look at these pulling together, you know, we really felt that our customers were looking for more of a policy-based governance around the identity and access management infrastructure itself. But there's been challenges there because there's been a tremendous amount of market fragmentation, and it's made it difficult for our customers to consume that. And that's certainly something that we're trying to change and rectify. Going on to slide 9, we really feel that there is an identity and access management governance layer that's delivering a bridge between the business and IT. And the elements that make up identity and access management governance include role management, entitlement management, separation of duties, access certification, and privileged identity management. Now, these are all interrelated in some sense today, but we really see them and have some elements of niche markets, but we see these converging over time into, again, this IAM governance space. Now, let's look at an example here, particularly where we see role management and entitlement management. We really see these areas converging in being able to allow our customers to deliver end-to-end governance but have some accountability. So let's walk through the example. Susan is an end user. Based on the fact that she's a nurse, she's assigned that role, that business role of nurse. And then as a result of her being in the role of nurse, she's assigned a set of application roles that grant her collections of permissions, coarse grain permissions, in those applications that you see there. And then that's where we see the value of entitlement management taking over, is that there can be these fine-grained entitlement policies that can be associated with the business and application roles to deliver that end-to-end governance. And that's really a differentiation between a lot of what the role management solutions out there today and that they don't provide. They consider an entitlement as group membership on an application. And while there's value in that, don't get me wrong, there's an assumption that's being made, and the assumption is that the native application owner is properly administering and properly enforcing that access control policy on that application. And so, you know, as a result of that, you know, our customers have provided feedback to us and really looking for the means to externalize that authorization to centrally administer and centrally enforce it so that you can know that you have that sense of accountability, that enforcement and administration is being performed the way that you want, so you can have that accountability in an end-to-end manner. So ultimately, the entitlement management piece can be associated to the role management, again, for that end-to-end governance. In addition to that, we see both separation of duties and access certifications, some capabilities we've enhanced in our 5.1 release, in particular delivering more governance for our customers. And privileged identity management is another key area, particularly as you're looking at, you know, root or database root users or database administrators who have this unfettered access to, you know, sensitive data within an organization, given their heightened access levels, and really the means with which to manage how they are administered access, the level of access control that they're provided, and as well as the ongoing user activity monitoring to ensure that risk is mitigated throughout. So as we go on to slide 10, just to see how this all fits together, you'll see in the blue rectangles in the middle of the page here, user provisioning, access management, and directory services. This is something I'm sure many of you are familiar with, the identity and access management infrastructure. We've added two other pieces to this based on how we see this market evolving. The security information event management piece, again, is a core capability that I mentioned earlier that our customers want to see within identity and access management. As well as this IAM governance layer that together will form identity and access assurance. And again, this IAM governance is that business conduit to IT that provides much more of a governance layer to be associated on top of that operational component for both the user provisioning and access management. And how we deliver this is through policy. It's not just about roles and managing access through roles. Certainly they're very important. But the key element here is policy, being able to have policy-driven management of people, applications, and data so that you have entitlement policies, roles as an object in a policy, and user activity monitoring policies, all these pieces coming together to help govern the overall access within an organization. So as we go and look at TIM 5.1 now, we really see TIM 5.1 as a key value enhancing our customers' enterprise IAM governance. We've introduced some features, in particular role hierarchy, separation of duties, enhancing our access certification, as well as introducing some group management functionality that really helps and delivers some quick value to our customers. I think, I'll go into detail in these particular features here in the ensuing slides, but I think one of the key takeaways here with this release is that we are now embedding operational role management as a fundamental component within the TIM platform. As we talked to our customers, they really felt that some of these capabilities were something that they wanted within TIM. And it's very important to note that our competitors, namely Oracle and CA and Novell, often require the purchase of two or more solutions to deliver the equivalent functionality. So the important now, there's still some elements of role management that will be separate from TIM, and you'll see that in the coming attractions later in this presentation. But these pieces in particular form an operational element that again is part of the TIM platform, and again our customers have emphasized the need for this. So let's move to slide 12 and introduce this notion of role hierarchy. So role hierarchy is really the means with which to deliver this notion of inheritance that's delivered through a hierarchical role structure that has already been created. And TIM itself is not creating that role structure, but is consuming this hierarchical structure and remediates the access, provisions the access as needed. And the change is in that prior versions of TIM there used to be a flat architecture so that if there was any hierarchical role structure that a customer wanted to build, Tim would have to ultimately transform that hierarchy and flatten it to work the way that the customer had designed it to. And now Tim eliminates that altogether by being able to quickly consume that hierarchy that's been defined. And the hierarchy has a tremendous amount of value because a customer then can reduce the number of objects that they need to manage access to as permissions flow based on the hierarchy. And let's look at an example there. In particular, the business role graph here. So you have this notion of parent roles and child roles. So physician is an example of a parent role. Cardiologist, say, is an example of a child role. If you were assigned the role of cardiologist, you will automatically inherit the permissions associated with physician. A similar example can be shown with an application role. If you were assigned the application role of being able to view patient procedure and view patient medication history, you automatically inherit the ability to open a patient record because in order to view medication history, you need to be able to perform the function of open patient record. So this gives you an example of how this hierarchy applies. And there's a tremendous amount of flexibility as well in that not only can parents have multiple children, as you can see there in the graphs and graphics, but children can have multiple parents. So a cardiologist, for example, can have a physician as their parent, can have a healthcare practitioner, or just even a generic employee role as their parent. So there's some value here as customers look to manage their hierarchy that they set up for themselves. As we go on to slide 13, the provisioning model with Tim now is adapted with role hierarchy as well. So rather than using a user directly to the provisioning policy, you now have this notion of being able to associate the user membership to a business role, an application role, and the provisioning policy can associate access through the application roles as well as group membership to a particular service. So the value here is users are assigned to the roles based on their responsibilities, and then the roles, the accounts, and groups are what is governed within the provisioning policy itself, and ultimately the provisioning policy assigns membership as a result and ultimately grants the access rights to those services. As we go on to slide 14, we've also introduced some role classification capabilities that really help simplify some of the user administration. So as you put your Tim administrator hat on, there's some value in being able to define the role types that our customers are managing. In particular, there's a tremendous amount of terminology out there in terms of different role types. And as a default within Tim, we've introduced, as I mentioned earlier, these two types of business roles and application roles that our customers can classify their role types as. But we also recognize they may define them in other ways, whether it be a functional role or an IT role. And so we want to give them the means with which to define what and classify what that role can be and then associate it within the workflows that they're using it for. As we go on to slide 15, we've introduced some separation of duties capabilities that will really enhance our customer security and compliance capabilities. Now, this really complements the existing separation of duty capabilities that exist on AlphaWorks. For those of you that are not aware, I recommend that you do go to AlphaWorks and take a look at the separation of duties and entitlements analyzer that's available for both our TIM and TAM customers and assesses and detects if there's any conflicts, role or permission conflicts in TIM and TAM today. Now, what we've introduced in 5.1 really complements that. What we're looking at here is this notion of separation of duties, being able to manage, again, a business conflict where you have the ability to exclude users from having access rights that would create a conflict. And so TIM itself provides this notion of a preventative and detective control where you'll be able to define a policy within TIM that will exclude users from having membership to conflicting roles. So a classic example is the accounts payable role cannot have the accounts receivable role, right? Or if you're in accounts receivable business process, There may be an instance where you don't want a user to have, you know, maybe, you know, a majority of those roles within that process. And then when I use the term role there, it would likely be an application role. The point here is that you want to be able to have some element of control to manage that conflict and mitigate that risk. So what happens is that upon defining that policy, and then when a user is assigned a role or maybe a user requests access to a role, TIM's going to detect if there's a conflicting rule in place and will prevent that violation from occurring in the first place. Now, we also recognize that, you know, our customers don't live in a black and white world, that there may be exceptions that occur where, for whatever business reason, our customers may want to override the SOD rules that they've defined, or one of them anyway. And so what we've also allowed is the means to have an exemption where that you can override the SOD rule and have an approval workflow that can gather the relevant business justification from, say, a manager or a security administrator to ensure that's okay, and you get the compliance sign-off on the overriding of that SOD rule itself. In particular, that's helpful for, you know, auditing purposes as well. So as we go on to slide 16, for that very reason, we've also have this administrative dashboard that really helps provide a status on the number of violations and approved exceptions that are out there. So you want as you can see in that graphic there where you see the one in violations and one in exemptions, you want those to equal each other so that you have an approved exception or exemption for every violation that's out there. And this is something that way you can manage the risk that you've introduced based on that override of that SOD rule. So going to slide 17, I want to talk about the enhancements we're making around our access certification, and particularly is it the value this provides in compliance in a compliance setting. Again, access certification presents a tremendous amount of value, particularly to the lines of businesses that are out there and our customers as they look to have ongoing validation of access of the applications that they may govern. And so, you know, in TIM, we actually now have three types of recertification policies. You have an account recertification policy, an access recertification policy, and a user recertification policy. The accounts is just recertifying accounts within TIM. The access is this notion of access entitlements that we introduced in TIM 5.0, which is really a business translation of a group where you associate a more, you know, friendly name like a sales pipeline portlet rather than some cryptic Active Directory account. And then with the user recertification, you now can recertify a role as well out of the box. And you can do these roles, accounts, and groups all within a single activity. So let's look at that. And if you go into slide 18, you know, there's a tremendous amount of value with this user recertification policy so that now certification becomes much more consumable than it has been in the past. While there's a tremendous amount of security and compliance related with access certification, you know, there is a burden that can place on the manager of the business and having to go through each and every one of these different objects, whether it be an account, a group, a role, and having to certify that. So we've introduced the means with which to still, you know, specify maybe a separate decision if they want on a particular object, but they can submit a consolidated response, one yes-no decision, on whether or not they want to recertify those roles, accounts, and groups for a particular user. And certainly, though, as we recognize there may be accounts and groups that are tied to a particular role, because of that, and we've introduced the means with which to preview the impact of the recertification prior to submission so that the manager can actually see, oh, what's going to be taken away if I remove this person's role? Are there other accounts or groups that might get taken away as well? And am I okay with that? And if so, you know, you're notified that ahead of time. As we go on to slide 19, we've also introduced some group management capabilities within TIM. And this really, again, helps from an administrative standpoint. As you may know, within TIM, you know, in the past, before the 5.1 release, we've had the ability to assign members to groups. You know, but we got a tremendous amount of feedback from customers that this caused some substantial delay in their business. And the reason would be they'd have to wait on the native application owner to create that group. Tim would then have to reconcile that group before users could actually be assigned. And so now, within 5.1, we've introduced the means with which to add, modify, and delete groups natively from Tim itself. And we offer this capability on the provisioning, or on the targets that you see there, LDAP, Active Directory, and those different flavors of Unix and Linux. Now, these targets, certainly may be expanded on for group management capability that we provide. It's important to note that is going to be managed asynchronously or separate from the TIM server release cycle and is managed as part of our TIM adapters. So if there are particular group management functions that you and, or your customers are seeking that are not listed here, let us know and we can consider them within our roadmap. I think a couple of them that are high up there already that we've heard are TAM and Lotus Notes in particular. To go on to slide 20, we've also introduced some reporting enhancements within TIM 5.1, in particular around the new functions that we've enhanced. So you'll see we now have master reports for both separation of duties as well as user recertification. And really, these are summary reports of all the SOD and user recertification policies. We also have the defined detailed definition reports for both separation of duties and user recertifications that go into much more detail around, you know, the description of the policy, the state that it's in, the business unit that it's associated with, et cetera. And finally, with the user recertification, we have a history report that's incredibly valuable from an auditing perspective that shows a history of the recertification at the different levels, the role, the accounts, and the groups. And then we've also included the newest version of Tilly Common Reporting within TIM 5.1. For those of you that are not familiar, Tilly Common Reporting is the means with which to have a common reporting console across all the Tibly products, not even Tibly Security, that you can use different data sets from those products to deliver and create a custom report. And this latest release of Tibly Common Reporting has introduced the notion of report scheduling. You can now email generated reports as well as having URL access to those reports. As we go on to slide 21, looking at the server support for TIM itself in 5.1, you'll see some of the standard server support platforms that we have out there. One notable exception on 5.1 that's been a change from 5.0 is that we no longer will support customers running on HPUX. And you know, we looked at this in detail and had really a small handful of customers on HPUX and have reached out to most of them. But if you have customers that are considering or on it, you know, I recommend that you steer them to one of the other platforms that you see here. From a middleware standpoint, as you go on to slide 22, given this is a 5.1 release, we don't, in a dot release, we don't have a tremendous amount of middleware change. So, you know, that is at least good news as our customers in particular that are going or are still on 4.6, you know, they can automatically upgrade to 5.1. And as well, obviously, for those that are in 5, we'll still offer the automated upgrade to 5.1 as well. A couple of comments here. We will be introducing support and certification for WAS 7.0 in the second half of this year. Then we also have support for Tibly Directory Integrator version 7.0, which was just released as well. Slide 23 and some of the information sources that you can leverage. Certainly there's a tremendous amount that we've introduced out there. We've updated the data sheet, the web page, got an announcement letter, and you know, obviously some new product support documentation in our information center. In addition to that, we've also authored an IAM governance white paper, and this is not just TIM 5.1 specific. In fact, it's not really product specific, but more talking about the space itself, looking at what our customers' needs are for this particular space, recognizing what are the gaps that exist within that space and how we as IBM can help our customers address those gaps. So highly recommend you take a look at that white paper. In addition to that, you'll also be getting an update to the TIM Sales Kit that will include a TIM 5.1 update customer deck. That will be out likely later this week. In addition to that, I'll be updating an overall Tivoli Identity Manager deck that's not just a 5.1 update, as well as an IAM governance deck that talks about the broader IAM governance space. Those will be out in the next several weeks. So looking at slide 24, you know, again, we see TIM 5.1 as a critical release and delivering a tremendous amount of value in and around operational role management. But we also recognize that our customers have additional role management capabilities and IAM governance capabilities in particular that, need to continue to deliver on. And you see here, this is our statement of direction that we released in the press release of the TIM 5.1 announce. And really, one of the pieces that we talked about is some of the capabilities that we'll be delivering in the second half of this year. In particular, we'll be delivering two role management deliverables. The first is a role modeling assistant that will focus on the creation, the modeling, the simulation of roles prior to releasing those roles into production. So that once it'll help customers and particularly system integrators for those business partners on the call to help our customers define the role structure and then ultimately export that into TIM itself. In addition to that, we'll also be offering a role management assistant to help govern the lifecycle management of the role definitions. So TIM's still going to manage the assignment of a membership to those roles, but as we talk to our customers and inquired whether or not they wanted to manage the role definitions within TIM, this is something they felt they wanted to manage separately and is why we're offering it here as a separate functionality that we're introducing in the second half of this year. Now, these will be provided, it says here, the limited beta program. We will actually be opening this up through an open beta program to increase the usage of this functionality. And, you know, for particular, those Tivoli Identity Manager customers will have the most value for this given the integration that applies to TIM to begin with. Now, it's important to note, these deliverables will be future feature sets along with other content that we introduced in a separate product in 2010. We just wanted to get some new function and capability out there to our customers and partners to deliver some value as soon as we could. As we go on to slide 25, let's look at some of the potential customer questions and suggested responses. I think I've actually addressed a few of these as I think about it over the course of the discussion. But just to reiterate, WAS 7 will be supported with TIM. This will happen by the end of this year. One question, just to continue to position and understand the value of how TIM can delivers operational role management is separate from role modeling. And so can TIM 5.1 help create my initial role structure? Well, it can, but really from a data source standpoint. So as customers look to leverage the data within TIM to pull and understand how is it that you want to define a role structure itself based on the access rights, the accounts, the groups, et cetera, that are being maintained and governed within TIM. But the important point, again, is that TIM's delivering operational role management, and the assumption is that the role structure itself has already been created. And for that very reason, that's another area where, as you go on to the next question, where we continue to partner with some of the key partners like Avexa, StylePoint or Secure IT, so that we can, continue to manage the gaps that we still have in IAM governance. So when we look at, in particular, while we have narrowed the gap, particularly in the operational role management space, we see this, notion of role engineering that includes mining and modeling of roles, as well as some of the lifecycle management, as areas where we should still partner with, Avexa and SailPoint in particular, as they deliver some, robust capabilities in this particular space. How do customers qualify for the upcoming role management deliverables introduced later this year? Well, as I mentioned, these will be part of separate beta programs. There'll be open beta programs, and again, while they're separately managed, they will ultimately be part of one product to be released in 2010. And as I mentioned, the most value will be to customers who have TIM5.1 from an integration standpoint. So when we think about some of the key takeaways here, in particular, based on what I've brought you through here today and in the TIM5.1 release, I think it's really important that we're very aggressive about the role management and IAM governance opportunities that you see. As I mentioned earlier, our competitors, particularly Oracle and CA, again require the consumption of two products to get this value. And really, something we should really point out to our customers is that there can be a cost factor there as well. Of course, I mentioned it earlier, we need to continue to partner where it makes sense, particularly in areas like role modeling and lifecycle management of roles. And most importantly, role management and this notion, this area of IAM governance is an emerging space. So it's critical to get to the opportunities first because our customers look to us for guidance. And so as we can help shape the conversation, we can cater it to the advantages for not only from a technology standpoint, but just from an overall business standpoint and why, IBM becomes, the better choice for our customers out there. So with that, I come to the end of the presentation. I'm going to turn it back over to the operator and open it up for questions. Jim, are you there?
Thank you. We'll now begin question and answer session. If you'd like to ask questions, please press star 1. You'll be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask questions, please press star 1. One moment, please, for our first question. Matthew Prince, you may ask your question.
Hi, Matthew, you there? Hello?
Hey, Rick, how are you going? This is Matt Prince, I guess.
Hey, good, Matt. How you doing?
Sorry, I was forgot I had muted myself. Thanks for that update. That's really quite helpful. I've looked at some of the beta stuff going forward, but this is kind of the first, I guess, sales-oriented, sales-targeted presentation we've had. That's quite good.
Good.
It's not entirely clear to me on this future direction for our role management. So that is the role discovery and role lifecycle tool that we're releasing in beta later this year. Now, is that going to be a separate product to TIM, or will that be customers of TIM with current TIM entitlements be able to receive that?
Good question. So there's two parts to it. So in the near term for these deliverables that are coming in the later this year, TIM customers will be entitled to those deliverables, okay? However, that functionality, the role management assistant, the role modeling assistant, okay, are future feature sets of a new separate product entirely separate from TIM that we'll introduce in 2010. That we will require our customers to purchase. Now, certainly from an entitlement standpoint, TIM customers will get a deal. I mean, it's not, we can certainly work through the pricing elements of it, right? But from a packaging standpoint, it will be separate from TIM. And the primary reason is, one, the function itself is not something our TIM customers have mentioned that they want to manage in a TIM production environment. And two, this also will allow us the opportunity to work in competitive environments where this, role modeling and role management capabilities can work with other competitive user provisioning solutions out there.
Okay, that makes sense. That's great.
So, but the point here is we want to introduce some of the functionality early on here. Get some feedback, but it's also a capability, particularly the role modeling piece. You know, in majority of the value in role modeling is often generated in the initial definition of the role structure. Certainly there's going to be tweaking going on over time, but that initial process or initial engagement and creation of those roles, you know, is a big engagement. And we really think that by delivering some of that functionality early on here, we can get this and deliver some value to our customers this year rather than just waiting until next.
Very good.
Any other questions or comments?
Our next question is from Paul Cooper. You may ask your question.
Rick, how are you doing?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. No, good presentation, as Mr. Prince articulated. I suppose just a little bit more clarity from my perspective, from a more of a selling perspective. Is there an opportunity for you to put together a matrix, I suppose, with, say, our point of risk role, Sun role manager and Oracle's role manager, and now differentiate where our gaps are or not, as the case may be? And obviously, if there's a futures thing where also the role modeling assistant and role management assistant are there, it kind of like gives us where our gap points are potentially and where our limitations. And that's purely for us as sellers to understand how we need to sell this and those sorts of aspects. So I suppose that would be one request, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I certainly see the value there. I mean, not only as sort of the as-is state with as a 5-1, but then as you mentioned, with the introduction of these role management deliverables in the second half of this year. Yes, so what we're doing right now, you know, as you can imagine, there's only so much detail you can get from, you know, a data sheet based on, you know, an Oracle role management, right? So we have our competitive team getting access to the code. In fact, we just saw a demo of Oracle's role manager. And so we're going through the process of going through a sort of a deep dive into each of these different solutions so that we can do just that, that not only we can see the code but then recognize, you know, what are they strong in, you know, what are they weak in, and how does that compare and contrast to what we have. One example of note in particular, you know, Oracle's role manager has no role mining functionality in it whatsoever, which is, you know, interesting.
Marketing assistant, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's something it surprised me because I was not aware of that. But anyway, to answer your question, yes, we will get it. It's just a question of when. The competitive team itself had some resource action earlier this year, and they've been, you know, really spread thin. But we're looking to get that out in the next month here so we can give you that matrix-level view.
Yeah, Rick, I think most of us would see it as an iterative process. You know, the more you begin to understand a competitor's product, the more finer-grained you can make it. But in the essence, like, you know, straight away, the comment that you made about the fact that Oracle's role manager does not have a discovery mining kind of capability, which from our perspective would be role modeling assistance somewhere down in the future, you know, that's an important understanding. So even if it's an iterative release, you know, we're kind of like we get it at a higher level, and then over time, as you know and love and understand all the differences and nuances between the products, you get more.
Okay.
That's great. If you could do that, that would be good. The other one then is, I suppose, the tricky question to some extent about as role modeling assistant and management assistant, you know, come about, and our current clients that have an option to you know, download beta stuff and start to work with it, is what in mind do you have around the cost models, and I'm probably preempting some of this, but currently it's great to be able to go to a lot of our clients and or, you know, where we're competing and go, you know, we kind of like see roles and identity as two sides of the same coin, and it's got to be tightly coupled and integrated and yada, yada, yada. This is why we're kind of like much better at it. And the other ones is that Oracle and Sun purchased other stuff and they're now trying to amalgamate it, da, 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 da. But then if we separate ours out, we kind of like lose that. So I'm trying to understand why we would be stepping away from what we're talking about. I mean, the bundles are about bringing us together. You're now pulling it apart.
Pulling it apart.
Is about competitive, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand sort of the contradiction there in a sense. Well, it's a good question. I think it comes back to two things, really. One is the recognition from the customer side in particular that this is really how, as we engaged our customers in our early access program in feedback sessions, that they felt it would be properly managed in their environment. And that, you know, again, you know, we talked to AT&T, we talked to, you know, several other customers where, you know, this is something they didn't want to use, this notion of role modeling and discovering in their operational TIM environment. They just, they were concerned about the impact that would have. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into that. In addition, so there's the customer perspective on wanting this separate. In addition to that, there's the IBM perspective of, from a market opportunity. As you know, the provisioning space is maturing. And certainly, you know, while, you know, TIM has, a large market share out there, there are a number of other provisioning solutions there as well that, you know, that if they have been deployed, to a certain degree, you know, and I know, those aren't very easy to rip out. And so for that same very reason, we want to have the ability to have a separate role management solution that can plug into that already existing provisioning solution that may be, a competitor solution in the process. So
I get you, Rick. So but what I would ask is that the product management, and you're obviously the lead in some regards around this, is to think carefully about how that's structured. So absolutely, I can understand that if we're going into, you know, say a Sun site, we've got WaveSet deployed, and as part of our means by which to start displacing them, we put in, you know, a role modeling assistant and role management assistant because they're wary about going to Sun Role Manager based on all Oracle stuff.
Sure.
And then over time, we're able to displace them. We also need some packaging about, you know, the one plus one equals three. Not in cost terms, but in, you know, you get more, but the cost is much more of a bundled capability. So an example, role manager, you know, the role sort of stuff costs $100 and TIM costs $200. You know, the whole lot doesn't cost $300 if you get
it. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, and certainly this is all, this, you know, the future, you know, this 2010 product where these become, along with other content, right, becomes a formal product, separate product, you know, that will also become part of the identity and access assurance bundle. So another, that and TSPM will also be added to that bundle as well because, as you can imagine, the, you know, the connection between the entitlement management and role management will be there as well that we'll be introducing in that separate product. So you'll be getting all of that functionality in that IAA bundle. And, you know, we can also look at if there is just a separate IAM governance bundle that might just tie in the role management product, TIM, TSPM, and TSIM. So I certainly understand the need for some financial incentive from a packaging standpoint as we deliver the value through multiple products.
Okay. No worries, Rick. Okay, you've obviously got your abreast of what the whole thing's about. Okay, no, that's just wanted to check.
Sure, no. And if you have other ideas or suggestions as you see, you know, things evolve or based on what customers are telling you, you know, I'm all ears. You know, I'd love to get your feedback.
So I got another question. Sorry I'm hogging this a little bit, but the separation of duty and analyzer from our friends at AlphaWorks, and maybe I missed this, but is that being incorporated into the product, or it's still seen as a downloadable capability out of Alpha, which is generally, you know, try it kind of stuff?
Remains a a downloadable tool for AlphaWorks and is not part of the TIM51 product. I will say that it will become productized in the next go around, and whether that is ultimately something that is delivered in the separate role management product or TIM is still to be determined. We're working through the use case scenarios for that right now. But that function will be productized ultimately into our portfolio.
And that's sort of what, 2010 timeframe?
Yes.
Okay. All right, just then one last one from me around common reporting, which I assume is still the whole Eclipse-based reporting.
Yes,
but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Given that we're bundling things like CIM around some of those aspects as well, sometimes this causes a little bit of confusion both in our own sales force and our customers. You know, our customers go, do I use the CCR stuff or do I use the CIM stuff? And, I know that some people will understand that there are certainly differences about common reporting about where you dump everything and then have the ability to sort and report as you see fit. And CIM is obviously far more user-based reporting and compliance-based reporting. But I think that both our clients and our sales force, we're a tad more mature, I think, in Australia, so I think we get it. But I feel that a number of others around the world struggle a little about articulating the differences to the clients and you know, we've even had clients go, I have CCR and I want SIM, so, it's free, isn't it? I go to the next version of the reporting. No, we have to go through those things. So either
right.
The white paper or a little bit more explanation that we can, is more formalized, and I can, Matt's not sitting next to me, but I'm sure he's nodding his head because we've had this conversation with, a number of customers around what, free and what each one delivers in respect to what it is, and even people like Glenn Gooding have had to sit in front of customers and have this conversation.
Yeah, I presume you could almost have it as sort of a three-legged discussion between the native reporting of maybe the product that you're talking about, like native TIM reports, right? Then you have CCR reports, and then you have the TSIM reports. So, certainly understand how the confusion can certainly surface as a result. I think, certainly I can ask, because this is something that's not even TIM specific, that it really applies across the civil security portfolio, as particularly as we incorporate, TSIM into, as a key reporting element, across the portfolio. So,
We've even had clients ask us to give them, a written, kind of like statement or report, and I've had to get Glenn Gooding or one of the, people saying, I'm from the Gold Coast Labs and this means this and that means this, kind of formalized statement because they're concerned about, if I use TCR, is this going to die or, should I move to CIM, and then wanting some formalized statement from ourselves, to guarantee that any development work or reporting work that they do around BERT and Eclipse is not going to be wasted. So I'm just trying to preempt some of those discussions, which I think will get even more complicated, frankly.
Yeah, and I can't speak really to the whole future, I'm sure you probably lived through all the car stuff, right? So,
correct.
I do know there's certainly some interest around, as well there should be, about how we can begin to leverage more of the Cognos reports. But that's just a question to your point earlier, what is the standard of TCRs, what's the lifeline? That's something that, certainly as much as I'd like to minimize, we'll try to, be as candid as we can. Right now, I don't see this going away anytime soon.
That's right. So, Cognos is obviously something that, if you've got the gray hairs like me and have been in Sibley for a while, Cognos was an engine we used to use in reporting and then obviously dumped it when It came into IBM, and it would seem to be fairly expensive. So, or Crystal, I can't remember which one, it's so long ago. But, yeah, you'd think that Cognos would ultimately be maybe part of an engine, or, you know, it's easier to license Cognos around the engine, or the APIs are in play. I don't know. So as we move more and more towards all of the reporting aspects becoming a highly critical deliverable out of all of these things that we're putting on into our customers' space, it is all about, as you rightly say, the reports, the tailoring of them, the customization of them, what they can give their auditors, what they need from operations, et cetera, et cetera. So it is becoming a more important aspect that we articulate for them.
Yep. Well, let me, so I'll, you know, those two to-dos is first the matrix, and the other one's sort of the reporting explanation of really a value that's delivered across, you know, TCR and TSIM, just so you can sort of have a quick, data point to leverage as you engage customers of, you know, how they consider the difference between the two.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks very much, Rick. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
sorry,
sure. No
talking
problem.
You now.
Any other questions?
Currently, at this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. Well, Matt, Paul, thanks for your questions. As always, if you have others, reach out. For the rest of you, thanks for your time, and good luck selling. And, again, please feel free to contact me should you have any further questions. Thanks, everyone.